morning, everyone. I'm just going to ask them to crank the sound in the house as hot as they can without feedback. Get as much in the room as you can to help us. I have a very small voice, and I'll explain about that. I suffered an injury to my voice 30 years ago, and so I hold the microphone real close. They crank the system right to the edge of feedback, and usually it works. Is it okay? Is it working?
A little feedback.
Perfect. And I've been having a blast this weekend with the people of God in Connecticut. I've been coming from all over to be part of our weekend, and I'm just grateful to hang with you this morning. I've got a Bob here, I've got a Bob here, and I'm Bob, and so we got Bob, Bob, Bob. Almost like the Beach Boys. I'm going to preach on the cross this morning. Is that okay with you? Can I have permission to preach on the cross of Jesus Christ today? Or maybe I don't need permission. Maybe I can just preach on it anyways. I'm a lover of the cross. I love that we have a cross in the back of our sanctuary here. And we are all here today because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather in this way. We are remembering right now our brothers and sisters in Ukraine that cannot gather like this because their churches have been bombed, their cities have been bombed, and we send a blessing in the Holy Spirit to the Church of Jesus Christ in Ukraine, those that are still in the nation, those that have escaped to neighboring nations. We send a blessing in the name of Jesus. May your people be strengthened and encouraged today in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're asking that you would provide for them food. We're asking that you would provide for them warm clothing. We're asking that you provide for them a warm place and a soft place to sleep at night. Lord, that you would provide them a home in another nation, whether it's Poland or Germany or a neighboring nation. Maybe some will come to America. Lord, we ask that you would, in your kindness, do things through this war that bring glory to your name. And we ask, Lord, that every evil person would be caught in the snare of their own net, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bless the church in Russia today and ask, Lord, that your church as they gather in Russia would be blessed with your presence and with your word in clarity and power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I pray for Russia and Ukraine, it's personal for me because I've been to several cities in both countries. I've got friends in both countries, and so I'm visualizing people and congregations when I pray in this manner because I love the Church of Jesus Christ in Russia and in Ukraine and throughout the earth. So I love you too. I'm just so grateful that I get to share with you. Our scripture this morning, our text is John 16:21. You're welcome to find it in your Bible. I think they're going to help us on the screen as well. John 16:21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Jesus speaks these words just hours before the crucifixion. It's the night of his betrayal, and he knows what's about to happen in just a few hours, but the disciples do not know, and he's wanting to prepare them, and to help prepare them, he gives them a metaphor. He gives them the metaphor of childbirth, and he basically is saying to his disciples, I'm about to go into labor. You're going to be distracted with the anguish. It's about to get messy. You're going to be distracted with the sorrow, the travail, the birth pangs, the contractions, the pushing. You're going to be distracted with, I'm going into labor. I'm about to go into hard labor. And Jesus is basically saying to the disciples, I'm pregnant. He was pregnant with prophecy. He was pregnant with purpose. He was pregnant with possibility. And when you're looking at the cross, you're looking at a man in labor to birth something for the kingdom of God. And then when you look at the resurrection, the baby is born. Here comes the birthing of the church, the birthing of our redemption, the birthing of our upward call of God in Christ. When the disciples looked at the cross, all they could see was everything shutting down. When God looked at the cross, he saw everything opening up. When the disciples looked at the cross, all they could see was a massive setback. When God looked at the cross, he saw this huge setup. When the disciples looked at the cross, they saw the end of everything. When God looked at the cross, he saw the beginning of everything. When the disciples looked at the cross, all they could see was a tomb. When God looked at the cross, he saw a womb. And the nails were his friends. When a woman is in labor, her contractions become her friends. I am not speaking from personal experience. But when a woman goes into labor and the contractions come on her, the pain of the contractions actually become her friends. Her eyes change. And something inside her goes, we are not staying here. This is going to change. She gets so focused. Everybody in that birthing room becomes her enemy. Get out of my way. I've got something to push out here. And the contractions actually help her push. And the nails helped Jesus push on the cross. It was the excruciating agony of the nails that enabled him to enter into the labor of the cross and birth the purposes of God on the cross. I can imagine Jesus being like, we are not staying here. This is going to change. And he's birthing something cross. The labor was pretty intense because he was birthing a pretty big baby. And I hear Jesus going, "Give me my nails. I've got something to push out here. Give me my nails. I've got something to birth in the spirit. Give me my nails so that I can stretch my arms further and show you how much I love you. Give me my nails so that I can earn my stripes as the captain of your salvation. Give me my nails and I will erect a tower of salvation right here on this hill. Give me my nails and I will nail every accusation that the accuser uses against you. Give me my nails and I will nail to this cross the code of requirements that were against you." This one is Colossians 2:14. Next frame, here it is. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Paul is speaking, when he talks about the handwriting of requirements, he's talking about the law of Moses. In the law of Moses, you had to do this, 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 and this, and then you had to not do this, 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 and this. And it produced a performance-based religion that if you were good enough, you could please God. Well, it turns out the only person that was good enough for that was Jesus Christ himself. Everybody else fell short. And the thing actually was contrary. It was unhelpful. It didn't work for us. It actually worked against us. And Jesus took that performance-based religion, nailed it to the cross, and released to us by faith in Jesus Christ. We now have the righteousness of God by faith. We still have a performance-based religion, but it's based on the performance of Jesus on the cross. And now when I place my faith in Jesus, his performance is credited to my record, and I become the righteousness of God by faith. They nailed him, and then he nailed it. It was a fantastic reversal. The carpenter knows what to do with those nails. When you're looking at the cross, you're thinking, "Oh, they nailed him." And he's going, "Actually, I'm nailing it." I've got some pushing to do. Give me my nails. Pain can actually become your friend. I say that as someone who lives with chronic pain. For 30 years I've had chronic pain, and there's something about pain. Now here's the thing about pain. You can't live with it. Something has to change. And when you're in pain, there's actually something there to harness, to take hold of it, and to birth something, enter into travail in the spirit, and let the pain of the thing actually become your friend to help you birth the person purposes of God in your life, in your family, in your church, in your generation. There are some things in the kingdom of God you will never birth until you're in enough pain. The scripture calls Jesus the firstborn from the dead. That's in a couple references. I think they may give us the reference on the screen. The firstborn from the dead. What that means is that when Jesus was resurrected, he was literally born from the dead. That's what the Bible says, born from the dead. And the reason it calls him the firstborn is because he's the first of many. You also, my sister, are going to be born from the dead. This is the hope of our gospel. He was the first one to be born from the dead. And now because he did it, we get to follow in his steps. We also experience crucifixion. We die, we're buried, but we are going to be raised to new life because he went ahead. He opened the way before us, and now we follow in his steps. He's the firstborn from the dead. Now, something about the firstborn that I did not know until I became a father. I've got three kids. My firstborn is Joel. And when Joel came, now this was in the 1900s. And back in the 1900s, you did not know what gender you were having until the baby came out. And when that baby came out, then they would announce for you, it's a girl, or, you know, whatever. And so I remember I wanted a boy so bad I could smell, I could taste. I was like, I literally said to the Lord, Lord, if this is a girl, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just wanted a boy so bad. And Joel comes out. I was in the birthing center with my wife, and I watched her. Her eyes changed. She starts to push. Hour after hour, and I'm watching this. She's trying to get a head this big out of a space this big. And I'm looking at this going, this is impossible. This will not happen. Hour after hour, she is pushing. And I'm watching it. And Bob, I literally thought to myself, I can't believe that 7 billion people have come into the world like this. It was so intense. And then my second, her name is Katie. When Katie came along, she was just like, what was that? I was thinking I'd have an encore. She just comes right out. That's when I learned something. The firstborn is often the tough one. Because the firstborn is opening a birth canal for the first time. Jesus Christ was the firstborn from the dead. He was opening the birth canal of resurrection for the first time, and that was the big one. I've got some good news for you. You're going to experience the same route, but it's going to be a whole lot easier for you. because he took on the big boys. He took on death, hell, Satan, and the grave. He pushed through resurrection, opened the birth canal, so that now you and I, yes, we have an intense journey, but death has lost its sting, and we get to participate. It actually becomes our dignity that we get to participate in his death, burial, and resurrection. We experience the cross, we experience resurrection, and it becomes our greatest dignity, because he's not doing it all by himself. He's got a bride that has walked the same journey with him, has followed in his steps, has drunk the cup of the Father together with him, and he dignifies us. He actually dignifies the scars that we incur in this battle, because he did the heavy lifting, and we get to participate now in the same process. You too will be born from the dead. I'm preaching the gospel today. I'm in a good mood. It looked like he was doing the cross from his hands and his feet. And he's like, I'm doing the cross from here. That's our text. He's birthing something. I find it helpful to identify the seat of the human spirit. The seat of the human mind is here. The seat of the human will is here. The seat of the human convictions and values is here, your heart. The seat of the human emotions and feelings, right down here in your gut, bro. Right down in the intestinal area. Somewhere between your intestines and your heart is your spirit. Right around here. The scripture says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This is helpful to me, because when I want to connect with the Holy Spirit, I don't go here. I don't go here. I go here. So if you want to, you're welcome even to put your hand right here right now if you want to, right in the vicinity of your solar plexus, right around here is where our spirit functions from. And Jesus goes, I'm doing the cross from here. Jesus was birthing something on the cross. And then when he sent the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit picked that baton up. And now the Holy Spirit enters into the same birthing, groaning process that Jesus was in on the cross. The Holy Spirit's doing it today. And in fact, he says that we enter into it with him, so that, this is just Romans 8 right now I'm preaching, we birth things in the Spirit by partnering with the Holy Spirit in intercession. His intercessions become our intercessions, and now we are birthing things in Wolcott, Connecticut with the help of the Holy Spirit, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, that same ministry taking place together with the Holy Spirit. You're pregnant with promise. That's why you're eating so much right now. That's why you can't get enough word right now. That's why you're on such a high word intake right now. You've got a promise in your spirit. When you get a promise in your spirit, you need a high calorie. grow that baby, because now that you got a promise in your spirit, feed the thing. When you get a promise from God, you don't relax your word intake. You ramp up your word intake, because now you need faith food. In the Word of God, faith food to grow that thing so that it can come to full term and that you can birth the purposes of God in your trial. When you have a promise from God, you don't relax your prayer life. You ramp up your prayer life. When you get a promise from God, you're like, you will never hear the end of this one. I'm going to hound heaven until you fulfill your promise in my life. When you get a promise from God, grow the thing in the Word of God and in prayer. Bring it to full term. Push in the Spirit and birth the purposes of God in your life. You're going, oh, this trial's killing me. And God's like, I don't see a tomb. I see a womb. This is a womb to birth things in the kingdom of God. That's basically my message this morning. I'm just going to illustrate it in a couple other ways. Let me illustrate it. Our message is, it's not a tomb, it's a womb. Let me illustrate this from the nation of Israel. When Jacob and his family were up in Canaan, he's got a family of 70. And God takes Jacob's family of 70 and puts them in Egypt for like 400 years. And for those of us that have read the story, we know they were not exactly 400 happy years. God, why would you do that to the guy? I'm going to try to answer that question. Back in those days, the number one killer of human population was war. Tribal conflict. This type A king against this type A king. And everybody's after everybody's plunder. Sounds like 2022. And God says to Jacob, he goes, if I leave you in Canaan, over the decades, you're going to be hit with warfare from every direction. Everybody's going to be after your family. Your population as a family is going to be constantly being decimated. You will never gain the size family you need to take the land. Jacob, let me do you a favor. Let me put you in captivity. And God takes Jacob with his little family of 70 and puts him in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. Where the family of Jacob is now protected by the armies of Egypt. Strongest military on the planet. Now protecting Jacob's family for 400 years. Jacob's family did not suffer a single casualty to war. For 400 years, Egypt took all the hits. For 400 years, all Jacob's family did was grow. they grew so large, so fast, that by the time they came out of Egypt, the nation of Israel, they came out a nation, birthed as a nation. When they came out of Egypt as a nation, they were large enough to enter their promised land, take their promised land, inhabit their promised land, and hold on to their promised land. God puts you into captivity to enlarge you. Shuts you down, confines you, puts you in circumstances you don't enjoy. And you're like, God, this is killing me. And the Lord's like, I don't see a tomb. I see a womb. And God used the womb of Egypt to grow the nation of Israel. Egypt was their womb. They're looking at it going, it's our tomb. We're dead. They're killing our babies. It's over. And God's like, I don't see a tomb. I see a womb. You're gonna come out of the duress of this womb, a nation ready to take your promised land. Could it be that you could so grow in your prison that the prison can no longer hold you? Could it be that you could so grow in this season of confinement that by the time you come out of this thing, you will be big enough in the grace of God to enter your promises, take your promises, inhabit your promises, and hold on to your promises? Your trial, you thought it was killing you, and he says, I don't see a tomb, I see a womb. Here's another one. I'm just illustrating my point right now. It's not a tomb, it's a womb. Here's another one. The Apostle John is being delivered to his new commodious abode. They're taking him to the island of Patmos, where he's going to be a prisoner on a prison island. Now, on Patmos, they have no walls, they have no dormitory, they have no cafeteria. It's just a rock in the middle of the ocean. And they just drop you off. John is being delivered to his prison island. He's 90-something years old. Being delivered to his prison island. And in Caesar's mind, Caesar's like, we're going to banish the guy, and Patmos is going to be the old man's tomb. And so John is they're bringing him on the boat, and he's like, well, I guess this is my tomb. And God's like, I don't see a tomb. And the scripture says, Revelation 1 verse 10, it's good enough to get it on the screen. John goes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he's doing his prison from here. What do you do with a man who does his prison from here? You can't stop this. There is no stopping the saint that is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You can stick him on a prison island, but this prison, the tomb is going to become a womb. In womb of Patmos comes the Book of Revelation that rumbles through history down to the present hour, possibly the most dangerous book in your Bible, and it was birthed in the womb of Patmos. It's not a tomb, it's a womb. I was in El Paso going back a couple of years now. It was January of 2020. It was just before the COVID thing really hit the fan. And I'm in a church in El Paso. And now, something to know about me, I use my voice up on the microphone. So by the time I'm finished on the mic, I'm finished. And I will visit with you after the service on a notepad. Don't stay away. I love to visit. I just do my part. Temporary limitation. I do my part on a notepad. So I'm at this church. I've just preached the evening meeting, and it's after the service now, and I'm shot, and so I'm on a notepad. And I'm talking with the pastor's wife, and she's curious about my story. She's asking me some questions, and she asks me, she goes, "Is it painful for you when you talk?" And I wrote on my notepad, "Every word has hurt for 28 years. And she gets this look of compassion on her face, and she goes, "I'm sorry." Do you know what I said back? Wrote it on my notepad. "God has never apologized to me for this. He never apologizes for the trials of life." Job, why should I apologize to you for your horrific trial? When I'm going to use your story to make you the first signpost in history to the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm going to make your personal story the first book of the Bible. You are going to have a spiritual inheritance in every generation, and best of all, you're going to be caught up. You're going to see God with your eyes. Why should I apologize to you for this? Joseph, why should I apologize to you for your horrific trial? 10 years in a horrific Egyptian prison. I want you to picture this now. No toilet. 10 years. No toilet. No toilet. I know this is your grandson, right? I need his name one more time. I'm sorry? Trent. Did I get it right? Trent. Okay, Trent, you got to get this. He's in prison for 10 years. No toilet. No toilet paper. No running water. No air conditioning. He's living in a sewer. For 10 years. Why should I apologize to you for this horrific trial when I'm going to use this to make something of you? By the time you come out of this thing, your prison, you think it's killing you, it's actually a womb. By the time you come out of the womb of this prison, you are going to make Pharaoh the richest man on the planet. You are going to single-handedly save the lives of every person in the nation of Egypt. You are going to become a feeder of nations. And here's your crown jewel. You will establish your family and prosperity in the land of Goshen, where the land of Goshen will become a womb to birth the nation that your family's going to become. Why should I apologize to you for this? Jesus Christ, why should I apologize to you for your trial, the most horrific suffering the planet has ever seen? I'm talking about the cross. He never apologized to Jesus for the cross. Why should I apologize to you for this when I'm going to use this cross to redeem to myself from every nation, from every tongue, from every kindred, from every tribe, from every skin color, from every ethnicity? I'm going to call from every nation and from every generation around the world a people to myself. She's going to love you. She's going to love you with all her heart, with all her mind, with all her soul, with all her strength. She's going to be devoted to you. I'm going to send the two of you off on an everlasting romantic adventure. Why should I apologize to you for this? He never apologizes to us for the trials of life, because what you think is killing you, it's not a tomb. It's a womb. I've got a film. My son Joel has put a film together for me of my own personal story. I'm going to show it. Now we're going to try to make this work on the screen, if we can make it work. It kind of talks about my birth pangs in my trial, and it introduces my story a little bit. So I'm hoping that you'll enjoy this.
Pastor in the you everything I've ever been fruitful, and you're taking it all away from me. What did I do to get you this angry? I swear, when you're in that kind of a tender place emotionally, you have a demon parked on your shoulder, because I've got this megaphone in my ear that is just yelling at me, abandoned, forsaken, it's over. Wake up and smell the coffee. God's finished with you. You're a has-been. I am hearing all this stuff in my ear, and every symptom in my body is telling me that's the truth. But did I hear another voice? No, 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 no. This is the voice. This is the voice of reason. This voice is so loud. But did I hear another voice whispering? I am with you. I am for you. I chose you. It's not over. This is going somewhere. And I'm sitting in the ball game, torn between the two voices, desperately wanting to believe that I am hearing the still small voice of the Spirit. But this other voice is so loud, so compelling, so real. And as I'm sitting in the ball game, this crazy idea goes through my brain. They're not catching baseballs. And besides that, we're under this overhang. There's a set of bleachers above us. The ball couldn't even get here if I wanted to. Stop this. In 3/4 of the way through the game, this guy hits a fly ball. With one motion, hundreds of people rise to their feet. Baseball gloves come out of nowhere. I've never seen so many baseball gloves in my life. Everybody's on their feet, reaching for the sky, and I'm on my feet with the rest of the fools. Here comes the ball, obviously not coming my direction. It comes like this. It's a cross beam at the base of the overhang, careens up and at this bizarre angle. It comes down straight at me. It hit me in my hands, bounced off my chest, and landed in my daughter Katie's lap. There's an old codger sitting in front of me. He turns around and says to me, "I've been coming to this field every week for 25 years. I have never
on YouTube if you want to look at it again and send it to a friend. I would like us to take a moment, if you're willing. I'd like to pray for our pastor. Pastor Bob, would you be willing to either stand or sit in a chair? Which would you prefer? Let's put a chair here for Pastor Bob to sit in, please. Okay, well, you can just stay right there. That's okay. Seated if you want to, if you want to stand with us, if you want to kneel, however you want to position yourself. And we join together with our pastor now in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, for your grace to abound to our brother in the name of Jesus. We set our face against every demonic assignment that has come against this man to hinder him and to take him down. And we establish a wall of fire around you, Pastor Bob, angels around your life, a wall of fire that the enemy cannot touch you. And we're asking, Lord Jesus, that by your grace you would speak a living word now to our brother Bob. And I invite everybody in this congregation right now to speak the word of the Lord to our pastor and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be strengthened in Jesus' name. By the power of God, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, be healed and renewed and strengthened. The life of God, the very lightnings of God, flow through your body now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, you're the one that said to us, have faith in God. And today we are placing placing our faith in you. There's not a person in this room that has what is needed right now. Jesus, you're the only one. And we place our faith in you because we believe that you, we believe your word. You said, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And we receive it now in Jesus' name, on behalf of our pastor and our brother Bob. Be strengthened, be whole in Jesus' name. Life of God from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. May the grace of the Lord abound to you now, Pastor Bob, in Jesus' name. Life, life in the Holy Spirit, life in the Holy Spirit. We don't have to understand what's wrong in your body. The Lord knows. He sees the whole thing. Jesus, you're our doctor right now. We're coming to you. You know exactly what's going on in our pastor's body. And we ask you, Dr. Jesus, we're calling on you now. Go right to the source, right to the cause. We say to your back, be healed in Jesus' name. To the bones in your spine, be healed in Jesus' name. To your nervous system, every nerve be strengthened and healed by the power of God. Jesus' name. I want to encourage the family here to, together, let's just resolve in our hearts that we are going to stand with our pastor. We are going to contend with him. We are going to speak the word of faith together with him. We're going to bless him in prayer, because we are saying to our pastor, you are not alone in this. We are with you. We are joined together with you. And we're going to stand together for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. I'm wondering if the whole room would be willing to just to speak over our pastor's life and just say, it's not a tomb, it's a womb. Would you be willing to say that with me? It's not a tomb, it's a womb. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'm not quite finished yet. I want to be available to pray for anyone that would like prayer this morning. And Pastor Bob, I'm going to be here to pray for folks. If you want others to join me, that's fine. I don't know. That's just totally for you to decide. But I want to invite anyone, as the worship team is going to lead us in a song and express our response. And as they do that, if there's any way that this message has spoken to you this morning and you would want to receive laying on of hands ministry from me, I'm willing to do that. Now just understand that when I pray for you, I'm silent. I'm finished now. But I'll pray for you silently, and I'll join my faith with yours, because I want to believe with you. This is not a tomb. This is a womb in the Holy Spirit. And so anyone that comes forward at this time, I will take turns to pray for you and bless you in the Holy Spirit. I just want to give a couple scriptures. Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. I think there's somebody in the room today that has a task in front of you that's going to require running. You are going to have to, like, really ramp up in the next season and run harder than ever. And the word of the Lord to you is, as you wait on Him, He's going to give you the strength and you're going to run in this next season and not be weary. So if that's you and you want to receive laying on of hands, you're welcome to come here. I also want to give out John 7, verse 38, where Jesus said that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. And if there's anyone in the house that you feel like, you know, I've never really experienced that kind of flow of the river of God in my spirit, and I want to receive that today, and you're hungry, for you're thirsty for the river of God to flow from your belly, you're welcome to come and receive prayer, and we'll believe with you in prayer for that. I also want to give out Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, your word is a lamp to my feet. There's somebody in the room that has a decision in front of you. You don't know which way to go. And here's what I believe the Lord wants to say to you. If you will take the rest of today to go into the word of God, forget the screen and go after the word of God and use today to go after His word. He's going to speak to you today and He'll give you things from His word that are going to become a lamp to your feet for the decisions that you face in the next week or two. So His word will be a lamp to your feet, and I invite you to respond to that today and come after the Lord and go after His word today, and He'll light the way for you. So you're welcome to come forward as the worship team leads us in a response song. I'm going to invite everyone to stand and to open your heart, lift your hand, give your hearts in response to the Lord. And anyone that comes forward, you're welcome. If you want to, I will lay my hands and agree in faith for the power of God to touch your life and strengthen you, because it's not a tomb, it's a womb. Amen. God bless you.